cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Second day of August. Buddy, you know what that means?
Oh my gosh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Wow.
This body's going great, huh?
Oh, it's one of those moments where you get caught off guard. What does it mean that it's the 2nd of August?
It means in 4 months' time, I'm 35 years old.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
Yay. Well, see, Gareth's not here, so I was going to make it about myself for like 5 minutes. No, actually, it's just 20 seconds. Right, so Gareth's stuck in traffic, unfortunately. This is a problem. It's a thing of life. So we are here to welcome you to this great day of Tuesday. And we've got lots to talk about because of elections tomorrow. We won't be here tomorrow during the elections. Michael, what is happening in the 6 to 9?
We will have a few repeats. Ooh.
Gosh.
Yes, they mess with the settings here and they turn the mic up and then you've got to fiddle a bit.
Place a circus.
So many knobs back here. So tomorrow we do have a couple repeats we're going to be playing out, but we also have some fresh interviews Gareth has done with some DA members. So that's something to look forward to. So definitely tune into Cliff Central tomorrow morning.
Okay, very, very nice. Right, so
you can actually do it while you're standing in line to vote.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to chat about.
Might just change your decision.
So, like, I hate waiting in a queue. I think it's one of the things as humans in 2016 we should have avoided by now. There must be reasons around this. So, Mubs, when are the actual polls open? Because I want to either go very early or very late.
Right, so it's a 12-hour affair, and the polls open at 7 o'clock in the morning. And then you'll have until 7 p.m. to get in there and not be turned away.
Well, that's not so bad because so wake up like sort of 6:30, have a proper lie-in tomorrow. And then we can get there so we can cast our cross at 6.
Yeah.
Sorry, 7.
7.
Okay. Well, it doesn't sound so bad, hey? Pashida, what's your strategy for tomorrow's elections?
I would love to go at the last minute and everyone is gone.
Yeah, fair enough. Michael?
Are you voting
tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going to vote tomorrow. I think after lunch, like late afternoon, around about 4-ish, I think that's when everyone, because everyone's going to want to go vote in the morning, go get their free coffee and stuff like that.
Free coffee? Which party's giving free coffee?
Yeah. No, you...
I'm sure that's not allowed on voting day.
So once you get that ink stamp on your finger, you go to Wimpy and they give you a free coffee.
Jeepers.
I saw a couple restaurants in Bedford View are even giving a 10% off your bill if you have that on your finger.
Wow.
So there's lots of election specials other than the free pens and stuff you get from the parties.
I would love to know whether or not there are people who have faked that that mark that they do on your finger to signify that you voted. Because, you know, people like to walk around and flash their thumb. You know, as if to say, oh, look, I voted. Yeah. What did you do?
It's exactly like Michael.
I wonder if people who don't vote feel pressured to fake that mark and put it on themselves.
That's a good point. Remember when Michael went to Opikopi and he came back and he had that thing on his wrist for like a whole week to show people he went? I reckon it's the exact same thing with voting. Yeah. People will do that.
Yeah. Because I imagine that some people without the mark on their thumbs are going to be judged severely by people who have voted.
Well, you remember last week how aggressive people got about the whole thing about Rahman and some other people were saying they don't vote.
Yes.
And people were like, damn you, you have to vote. This is the law, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So can you imagine Rahman and guys like him with like permanent marker on their finger? it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So if you don't trust your friends... just lick your thumb and rub it off with it. That's going to get awkward.
What do you have to take to vote? Just your ID book, right?
Yeah, ID book. Obviously, go to the right polling station. You can't just rock up to anyone.
Exactly.
It has to be the one that you registered at. Otherwise, your name won't be on the roll and you will have wasted your time.
So
and the time
that same there. Place you registered at turns into a voting station?
Yes.
Or is it nearby?
That
the exact same place.
Look,
Michael,
they,
I really hope it's the exact same place. Otherwise, it's very much like an amazing race to try to find.
Yeah.
I don't think it's meant to be a treasure hunt. It is, hey, Mubs?
Yes, it is, Flex. Yeah. So just go back to the same place where you registered. I'm just trying to get onto the IEC website here to tell you how many different voting stations there will be set up for tomorrow.
Jeez, there must be hundreds.
Oh, yeah. There'll
hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah.
Maybe even thousands. Well, I just really hope for two things tomorrow. Firstly, there's no queue when I personally go vote, and secondly, that there's no violence.
And tell me, while I'm standing in this line, is it like all the other parties are coming up to you saying, here's a pen, please vote for us, and all that stuff?
No. Michael, as far as I know, that is illegal. And also, they haven't, those parties don't have the budgets anymore, huh? They put everything into rallies, into t-shirts, into kissing babies. They don't have budget for pens.
Mm. Look, there'll be a lot of people who have volunteered their services tomorrow to be, I don't know, agents, if you will. So these are the people who'll be, you know, just doing the basic stuff, showing you where to go. If you have any questions, if you're confused about anything, you can walk up to them and ask them. But they're not allowed to try and persuade you who to vote for.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. But also, if you do know CPR, it's also a good thing because most of the people who help out with the DA are all like 80. They're really old, and they stand there with their blue knitted scarves around their necks, and they're such stalwarts. It's quite something to see.
Isn't it also regarded like not etiquette to ask people who they voted for?
Yeah, it's kind of like asking a woman what she weighs. It's pretty much the same thing.
It's horrible.
Just don't do it. She might tell you if she's brazen, but just don't ask. It's not really a conversation starter. Right, so Gareth's still in traffic. Michael, any word on when he arrives? I'm just going to try, plan what we're going to do here.
He should be here soon. I mean, how bad can traffic be at like 6 in the morning?
So what happens when you guys have a conversation? Is he just, you phone him and you say, hey Gareth, are you close? And he goes, oh, fuck, Flex. Oh, traffic.
No.
Just tell him to start the show. That's how it goes, right?
He phoned me today. Ooh. And he said, listen, Flax, I'm stuck in traffic. I'm close to... And he started mentioning off-ramps and this. I didn't know where he was. And then I said, cool, I'll start the show. And when you get here, then you get here. But, like, don't stress. Don't try speed, anything like that.
Well, look, it is the N1 highway.
I still can't fathom that there's traffic at this hour.
There is absolutely traffic at this hour. Absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
People have things to do, Flex.
But people that work 9 to 5, don't they only leave their house at like 7, 8?
Yeah, but a lot of people...
It's 9 to 5. This isn't the 90s.
No, people do work 9 to 5s.
No.
Who?
What are work hours then?
It's like 8 if you're lucky. Otherwise, most people get to work at like 7:30.
Exactly.
And leave at what time? 3?
8.
Oh, no. No, I just...
Michael, the times are tough. Okay, well, look, we should get into news, but just give Gareth a couple more minutes, hey, Mubs.
Yeah, okay.
So what I found for you is, because I like when comedians, because let's be honest, comedians have a tough life, right?
How do they have a tough life?
Because it's so difficult to get gigs, right? I was chatting to a comedian the other day, I won't mention his name, but he said he hasn't performed for like months and months because he has to find other ways of making money. So comedians are always busy doing other stuff, right? So... Bill Burr, I'm not sure if you ever heard of this dude.
Mm-mm.
He does commentary on YouTube, right? So someone dared him to do commentary about the Kardashians. So he watched an episode of the Kardashians.
Okay, all right.
So this is commentary. We'll play a couple minutes of this, then we'll get into Mubs' news, and hopefully on the other side of this, then Gareth will be here. But this will definitely get your morning started. Well, in one way or another.
See, I was asking for it.
Ooh. So here's the hang on a second. I've done this thing again where there's two things playing. And work with me, computer. Okay. No, it's doing it again. Okay.
Third time's the charm.
Third time's the charm.
Right. I'll tuck the package between the fucking.
So this is Bill Burr commentating on the Kardashians.
I'll duct tape my balls and dick to my taint for the next fucking hour, and I will sit here and I will watch this horseshit. So I'm watching it, right? And the big one there, as Jay Lawhead calls her, the power forward of the Kardashians. All right. She's driving the meerkat one and then the one who's married to the fucking Kanye West, the always humble Kanye West. Right. And they're driving over because she's trying to figure out, you know, if the fucking whatever, if the splooge made it to the fucking hangar area. So they're driving to some SUV. They're in Wyoming, right? Because that's what rich people in California do. So they buy a big, they buy a spread out there in Montana or something. Long story short, they're driving in this fucking SUV, right? The power forward's behind the wheel, as Jay Lawhead calls her. The meerkat is in the fucking passenger seat, and old Sploogie's in the back, right? So it's snowing, and this truck goes by. You know, the truck has, like, the wind or whatever, you know, as it goes by.
That is so not safe for people to do.
So, you know, James Worthy there is fucking, you know, whoa, going like, what the fuck? And then they keep talking and blah, 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 blah. And then another truck goes by. And next thing you know, she lost complete control of the car.
Like,
and as it's spinning, right, the woman in the back, I think she's pregnant, so she's freaking out. Oh, she's got a baby there. So the one in the back, the mother, is going, hey, fucking, you know, Orlando Woolrich, what the fuck? What's going on? And as they're spinning, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. And they fucking, they spun into. So
I had no idea there's actual action in the Kardashians. They had like a full-on near-death incident. Damn, the power forward.
Yeah, look, Ryan Seacrest can script a lot of things, but I don't know if he could possibly script their vehicle.
Did you not see how the power forward locked the wheel for no reason there? All right, Bob, so we're going to get into some news because Gareth's still a few minutes away. So what is happening? Wait, hang on a second. I'm a professional at this, I'll tell you what.
Okay.
Some black ice.
Why are you freaking out?
So what's happening in the news, Mubs?
Well, there is a woman in Limpopo who thought that she could get away with faking her own kidnapping, but she has not. The Limpopo woman accused of faking her own kidnapping will know within the week whether she will be granted bail. Her name is Bernadine Ronel Jordan. She appeared in the Polokwane Magistrates Court on charges of kidnapping, perjury, and defeating the ends of justice. So, woman in Limpopo fakes own kidnapping. Man from Limpopo won 80 odd million rand just a few days ago.
Yeah, well,
I'm no detective.
The dots are going to start joining up sooner or later.
I mean, why else are you faking your own kidnapping? Because you want to get money out of the person, right? You want that ransom money to go to you and the guys who you've promised to pay if they execute the thing flawlessly. But unfortunately for Bernadine, or rather Bernadine, that's her name, it didn't work out as such.
Yes, people do strange things for attention and or money, huh? There really is just no limits anymore.
It's quite frightening, actually. So the matter has been postponed to the 8th of August for a bail application. She is 29 years old. She was arrested for faking the kidnapping of herself, as well as her 5-year-old daughter and an unknown 14-year-old girl. So it's not just herself that she put in danger here. It's two children as well. According to the Hawks, they say that they had received information from this woman's husband that his wife had been kidnapped by unknown people in the area. The Hawks said that they investigated the matter and found that the victim's car abandoned in one of the streets with all doors wide open. As the investigation continued, they were led to a house in Musina, more than 200 kilometers away from Polokwane. And upon arrival, they searched the house and the alleged three victims were found hiding inside a cupboard. And that is when the whole thing was blown out of the water, so to speak.
Can you imagine the brains behind this operation? They probably thought it was a fantastic idea because they watched something similar on TV.
Right. Well, it would seem to me that this woman is the supposed brains behind the operation, but didn't work out so well.
Gosh. Rural people as well, though, hey, let's be honest. I think there's very little to do. Like, I was in Paraiso for the weekend. It's a small town.
Yeah.
Once you've bought a couple of antiques and been to KFC, there's not a whole bunch going on.
So you pass the time by faking your own kidnapping?
I'm not saying I was there for 2 days. I mean, if you're there your whole life, who knows what you're capable of?
Who knows what you'll do to entertain yourself? For the second time in less than a month, a Gift of the Givers hospital was caught up in the middle of fighting in war-torn Syria. On the 8th of July, the South African-based aid organization's facility in Darkush was a scene of chaos after a rocket strike. And now, at shortly after midday, South African time yesterday, the Al Hilal Hospital came under attack. Gift of the Givers founder, Imtiaz Suleiman, said that it was a drone attack that struck 100 kilometers away from the hospital. Fortunately, there was no damage and no serious injuries. But, I mean, can you imagine? You know, you're a guy who has absolutely nothing to do with war-torn Syria, but because of the goodness of your heart or whatever, you decide to go over into this country and you're helping people day in, day out.
You are the opposite of the mess that's there.
Yes. And then you're having to deal with all sorts of things that are putting your own life at risk. It's just, it's unbelievable.
And like, surely karma helps you out at some stage, so this shouldn't happen to you?
I don't know if I believe in that whole karma thing. It just seems to me like, you know, bad things happen to some people that absolutely do not deserve it, and then the shitheads kind of get away with, you know, with a much more comfortable life.
Can I just say that Limpopo is a messed up place, because I was listening to that story as I came in. Why do all the bizarre messed up things happen there? And shouldn't we just stop them from winning the lotto in that province?
No, you actually cannot.
Can we count them out?
You can't stop anyone from winning the lotto.
Surely we, but if you, I mean, if you're going to do dumb stuff, which obviously happens a lot in Limpopo, can we just bar you?
I don't know, Gareth.
And Flax, by the way, there is a lot of traffic at 6 in the morning. There is a lot of traffic at 5:30 in the morning.
Where are these people going?
Insane. Hang on, let me just turn on your mic. There we go.
But where are these
people? All right, sorry I'm late, everybody.
What do you mean, where are these people going? People have
They're all going to work.
They have
how
to
do
get
you think,
to work.
But like, what time?
They have to take economy turn?
Little people to school and stuff.
Yeah.
Most of my friends, they either start at 9, end at 5, or start at 8, end at 4.
What's that?
Most of my friends, they either start at 9, end at 5, or start at 8 and end at 4. And they only leave their house around about like 7, 7:15.
Well, the world is not comprised of, you
just
know, people who are mostly your friends. I mean, there are people on the road at all times of the day, throughout the day.
Jeez.
Yeah. No, it's madness. All right, back to you, Mubs.
All right, so the IEC Vice Chancellor, Terry Tselane, says the commission has done enough to ensure that the elections in the Tlokwe municipality will be free and fair. There have been concerns about voting tomorrow in different parts of the country, in areas that are, you know, that have seen unrest, so to speak.
No,
surfacing.
Let's call it what it is. It's in areas where the ANC haven't got a clear majority, that they're always sort of things that go on that everybody goes, that's interesting.
This specific municipality has been the subject of controversy in recent months. This is after a group of independent candidates requested that the IEC include voters' addresses on the roll.
I don't
know why you want special laws.
Because
in different parts.
There were allegations that the ANC was bussing in people from other areas to vote in the Tlokwe municipality.
But if you are not registered in the Tlokwe municipality, then they're going to be able to pick that up when they scan your ID book, right?
What is Tlokwe is Potch, right? Potchefstroom. So they don't even have paper and pens there. So I don't know how they. I mean, again, another province that shouldn't be allowed to vote. There's certain provinces that should not be allowed to vote. Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and the Northwest, chief among them. And the Northern Cape, there's hardly anyone there.
Well, the issue was actually taken to the Constitutional Court, with the group eventually winning the case. And so the municipality looks set to be fiercely contested by the ANC, the DA, and the independent candidates.
Oh.
It's all happening tomorrow, people.
All right. Yeah, tomorrow, hey? I was listening to you saying that we can go to the polls at 7.
7 a.m., the polls open until 7 p.m. in the evening.
Okay. All right. Make sure you're there.
Okay, so yesterday I was buying gas at a petrol station.
Yes.
And I had about half a tank on me, and the guy said, oh, are you going to fill up? And I said, no, it's fine. I'm good to go for a few more days. And he said, well, you probably should fill up. And I said, what do you mean? And he told me that they were running low on fuel because they can't receive anything because of the strike that's supposedly happening.
Yeah.
Several petrol stations in Gauteng ran dry yesterday because of the strike. This is after 15,000 members began the strike last week. The South African Petroleum Industry Association says The intimidation of non-striking workers at petrol depots in Pretoria is affecting fuel deliveries in parts of Gauteng.
Mm.
So yesterday, they only had 95, for example. They couldn't give you anything else, not even diesel. The guy said they didn't have. I don't know how much longer this will be an issue, but...
I tell you what, it'll be an issue until we fire those people and get new people in.
Yeah, fire 15,000.
Just fire them. You see, I don't understand like why we are clinging to the idea that these people deserve their jobs if they keep asking for more money and there just isn't any. Please understand, wherever you are and whatever you do for a living, I know it's tough. All right. I know that your costs have been going up. I know that living isn't easy at the moment, that everybody, everything, everywhere costs more money than it's ever cost, right? I mean, I got my electricity bill yesterday. I had a fit. But here's the truth. The economy is growing at 0%, which means it's not growing. Okay, it's not growing. Now, if the economy isn't growing, you can't ask for more money. And then when they say, I'm sorry, there's no more money, strike like a child and expect that someone's going to just pull money out of their backsides. There isn't any money. Don't strike because no one's listening. No one can help. All you're doing is making things worse for everybody else in the country. People like Mabale who want to fill their car up aren't going to be able to now because you think that you're so special because you work in an industry where you're just not related to the market. Well, I've got news for you. Everybody's into the market. Everybody, whatever happens here, affects someone there. Stop being an idiot. The economy's not growing. You can't have more money. It's not. There's nowhere that the money's been hidden. There just isn't any. Grow up. You're not 15. Can't just ask mom and dad for more cash. Right? Ben, I know you'll stand up for this point of view.
Yeah, Gareth, it makes sense because it's all about what's there. So
there isn't any
exactly,
cash.
There's nothing there.
Like,
so.
We owe more than we've got at the moment. So actually, we should be sliding backwards in terms of growth. In other words, the economy should be shrinking. Be grateful that it's at zero. But what that means is there isn't any extra cash lying around to pay you in your shitty hauling petrol around job more. Sorry. Don't know how much easier I can make it than that. Moving along.
Yes. So I guess somebody finally found a reason to release those nude pictures of Melania Trump.
Oh.
Maybe they were trying to start something.
Are they any good? Have you seen them?
No, I haven't. No. A key advisor to Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump says there is absolutely no problem with the New York Post's publication of the nude photographs of Melania. They did this over the weekend, apparently, on the cover, actually. So not just inside the book, the actual cover.
All right.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about, said the Trump advisor, because he says that Melania is a beautiful woman. You see, if she had been an ugly woman,
yes,
then obviously there would be something to be embarrassed about.
I agree.
That's just how the world works, people. The Post published several nude pictures, which were reportedly taken back in 1995. So this is an even younger Melania Trump, okay?
Yeah, it looks like the 90s. I found a pic.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. That's not the greatest pick. I mean...
Well, it's the 90s, so...
But she is a good-looking woman, and I do kind of agree with that rationale. I know it was your... you added that into the story, Mubs, about how if it was an ugly woman, it would be unacceptable.
Well, that's just the way it works, isn't
right.
it? Okay, so Melania was one of the most successful models back in her time, and she did many photo shoots, including for covers in major magazines. These pictures were taken for a European magazine. How old was she back then? I'm not going to do the mathematics. It was back in 1995. I don't know how old she is now, but she was 20 years old when the pictures were taken.
Oh, okay.
And then Trump got his claws,
got
his manky claws into her in 2005 when they wed.
Right.
I also added that bit. But yeah, I don't know. What was this publication trying to do here? Were they trying to be salacious? Were they trying to stir up something? Were they trying to... What were they trying to do?
I don't know, but I don't see that anyone in the Trump camp is upset. They probably think it'll help the campaign.
Yeah, sure. It probably will. There are a lot of men and women who have particular thoughts about Melania Trump and
right.
will vote for Donald Trump purely for that reason alone, Gareth.
Don't you think... that Hillary should release nude pictures of Bill? Just to balance the equation?
Or vice versa?
No.
Oh, hi.
No.
I'll pose for you naked.
No.
I don't mind. You want me spread eagled?
Oh, no.
Hi, everybody. Oh. I'll play my saxophone in the nude.
Come on. Don't you think you want to see that?
I definitely know that.
No?
I do not want to see that.
You guys are no fun at all. It would be so much fun. Come on, think about it. It would be great. It would be so terrific. Bill Clinton.
I just shaved my pubic mound.
I mean, Bill is 69. You'd have to dig up pictures from the Cretaceous.
But I used to be a coxman.
From the Cretaceous era to get a good picture of Bill.
Now, don't
Bill
be 69. Ageist.
He's 69. It's his favorite age.
Don't be an ageist. I'll tell you something, I look great. I look fantastic.
But right now, he's looking older than Bernie, and Bernie, like, Bernie's got BC in, like, after his age. And he really does look like, he looks weird.
Bernie has BC after his age.
Yes.
That's fantastic. I like that. Bernie is 326,000 years old BC. All right, enough nonsense. Let's get straight into the sport. See, Mubs, I just dismissed your whole news as nonsense.
That's fine.
But what happened to the old sensitive, my buddy? Who would have got upset about that? Right, Karpinski, what do you have for us apart from the fact that it is one day to
two
the
days.
Olympics? 2 days. Oh, okay, I got it wrong.
2 days, Gareth.
Fuck.
No, 3 days. You know, throw me out. It's 1 day till the elections.
So what is it?
To 3 days till the Olympics.
Oh.
So Olympic... So opening ceremonies are a big deal, right? Now, I know yesterday I said that it were 3 days to go. I'll try to find actual athletic feats for you.
All right.
But there's not much. It's just boring, actually, because we all know that certain people are favorites for the Olympic gold, blah, 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 yada, 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 and then someone else wins, and then it's just a useless conversation. So opening ceremony, such a massive deal, and there's always a massive backlash in social media if something is funny. You remember when in Brazil, where it was Pitbull... J-Lo.
Yes.
And they were all singing, and everyone was like,
that
going
was
about
the World Cup.
Pitbull's.
Soccer.
Yeah.
Oh,
everyone was going about
terrible.
Pitbull's trousers, the fact you looked like a drunk Herschel Gibbs. I mean, it was just so funny.
A drunk yeah. Herschel Gibbs.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
A Herschel Gibbs.
Talking about superfluosity.
Okay. So, apparently, our word is that Giselle is going to appear in the opening ceremony.
Giselle
Bundchen.
Who's,
she's
of course.
She's not a performer.
She's Brazilian,
she's
hot.
She's of Brazilian / German origin.
Sorry, I thought... But is she singing? I don't understand.
Opening ceremony, Mubs.
She's just going to pitch up. She's a beautiful woman, like Melania on the cover of the New York Times. All they have to do is bring her out there and make her do a couple of turns and twists on the stage. And everybody goes, oh...
Exactly. Now, I've got this from a credible source that they said basically as a sneak peek towards what the opening ceremony is going to be, Giselle is going to be walking, literally like strutting across the whole thing.
Well, that's what she does for a living.
To the sound of the song Girl from Ipanema, right? Obviously, because they're in Rio and Ipanema is a big beach there and that song's iconic. But what do you reckon happens while she's strutting?
She's wearing one of those Victoria's Secret two-piece thong things.
Hmm.
No, she gets mugged.
What?
Oh,
word is...
That's not good.
In the opening ceremony, Giselle's going to be striding along to the sound of Girl from Ipanema, and then an actor approaches her as a mugger and mugs her. But it's all because of peace, apparently. So there's a happy end to the story. But
so they've actually made a story that shows how dangerous it is to be in Brazil.
One of the stereotypes of the culture is that you will get mugged in Rio. And this is actually going to appear in the opening ceremony. Now,
oh, my God.
Again,
when
like,
crime is a part of your national... pride.
But can you imagine if they go ahead with this, right? With the backlash on social media and what people are going to say about this for days afterwards, Giselle getting mugged in the opening ceremony. That would be so funny. Maybe by doing this, then they'll take away from actual people getting mugged. Because then it'll be like, oh, whatever. It was just an act. No, I really got mugged. Shut up. You know, it's hot as Giselle. So this is going to happen and she'll get mugged.
So they're raising awareness about
raising awareness. It happened to everyone, even Giselle.
Wow, what a story. So they actually incorporate crime into their national identity.
Yeah. Another story which I thought was well worth sharing before the Olympics starts, just 3 days away now, is that, you know, another thing with big events is that if you're a big sponsor, you get the rights to all kinds of things. So if you're a big sponsor, then you can actually say World Cup or Olympics. And then other people who aren't sponsors, they try to do guerrilla marketing.
Yeah, so
that's quite messy.
Yeah, but there are official places where all the official sponsors can put all their logos and everything. Yep. It's around the athletics track and on big billboards and on cups and on clothes and on all kinds.
Utilize things on social media and all that kind of stuff. So if you are an athlete, okay, and you're sponsored by someone who's not an official sponsor, say, for instance, we as Cliff Central had to sponsor Casa Semenya, right? She is our, you know, Women's Month. Mm-hmm. She is our athlete. We are not allowed to tweet her any of the following words because they are Olympic words. And as we're not an official sponsor, she will get in trouble and may even have to forfeit her participation.
That's insane.
Well,
what words?
When you hear the words, it gets more insane. 2016, Rio or Rio de Janeiro. The word 2016.
Okay.
The word gold, silver, bronze, medal, effort, performance, challenge, summer, games, sponsors, victory, Olympian. So if we were to say, well done, Costa, we really enjoyed your effort in the summer games.
Yeah.
Your performance makes us proud. That is an illegal tweet, and Costa herself...
And Costa Semenya could get into trouble for it.
Massive trouble.
But why is she being punished for some stupid rule that has been implemented by a bunch of people.
Yeah, by a bunch of lawyers who want to control everything.
This is the IOC. So when they go down and they meet with these massive sponsors and ask them to pull their pants down, basically, for price, for the rights to do this, they say, it's okay. We're going to own these words so no one but you guys can use the word victory.
Wow.
So it's like if we're...
Well, then here's what we have to do, South Africa. We must all tweet every other athlete in the games except ours. With all of these words and unofficial sponsors. So we piss off the IOC.
So now,
and
if one
all
of
the
one
other
of them
athletes
retweets it.
In the world, except for South Africa's athletes, will get banned. And we can win every gold medal.
And so, if you really want to tweet Caster Semenya, do it in any other language but English. Sepedi, Afrikaans.
Yes. Good idea.
Fuck you.
They can't do anything about that.
Right.
Very good points. So, of course, Olympics, Olympic Games, Olympiad, Olympiads. You can't use any of these words.
I'm not saying... All I'm saying is...
You can't even use the Latin... what the Olympic motto, basically, faster, higher, stronger. You can't use any of that.
Really?
Yeah, these are all things that just can't happen. So Rule 40 is what it's called. And if any of the athletes had to retweet that, then they're in big doo-doo as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe that they actually think they can control the rest of us. Like, we're not going to listen to that nonsense, are we?
Gareth, they always try. And they put
go
these,
on.
These
get out of here, man. Shit, I'm saying. Get out of here for real. I'm saying get out of here for real.
Yeah, they love putting these things in because it makes them feel very important as well. So in F1 news, no, it's not about the drivers because we all know Hamilton's going to win. Like, it's just going to get boring from here on in. So Bernie Ecclestone's mother-in-law got kidnapped, right?
No, this is funny.
And the story broke yesterday after the sports. I couldn't bring it to you.
Yeah, this
so
is great.
So these, in Brazil, South America is actually a hotbed of kidnapping. It's one of the top three activities in summer.
Oh.
And they asked Bernie for $36.5 million
sure.
for his mother-in-law, which I think is ambitious, even though Bernie is really, really rich.
And what did he say?
Bernie, we called it. Bernie basically said, get stuffed. Not a chance. I'll give you any of this.
I'm not paying for that old trot.
And
those were your exact words.
Yeah. And after a while, the kidnappers were like, well, screw it. And they gave her back. Nobody exchanged hands.
She must be such a pain in the backside. But can you this imagine? Woman...
So you mentioned the next family function. So, how are you doing? Oh, yeah, I got kidnapped. Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Oh, did you? Yes, those bloody kidnappers. They kept bothering me for 4 or 5 days. I eventually told them to piss off. So, cool. Thanks, Bernie.
Bernie does not care about this woman at all, right?
No. Sure. I don't think so. And it's not because they're bad kidnappers. I think once you kidnap someone, you have to try to follow through at some sort of point, right?
Right.
I just think they were so hard-pressed. And Bernie probably said, well, here's a gun. I'll send you a gun before I send you the money, you sons of bitches.
That's hysterical. Okay, well, they're a very interesting way of looking at things. If the next time someone tries to kidnap your mother-in-law, which is, by the way, a bad move, because mother-in-laws are generally despised by their, you know, daughter or son-in-law, that is not a good person to kidnap. Here it is. Bernie has shown us all that this can be ignored and you can get on with your life, and eventually the kidnappers will give up and they will send her back. You don't need to give them any money.
Yep. Well, we thought this day would come where you know, Fikile's shouting and ranting and whatever else comes out of his mouth falls into actual practice. Mm-hmm. So there was the whole thing about the Eminent Persons Report, I think that's what it was called, mm-hmm. about more representative teams in national sport. So more and more momentum now has basically come to the fact that the Proteas, who have 11 people basically trying to win a cricket match, only 5 of those 11 can now be white.
Hmm.
So basically the CSA approved the decision. And like, the media makes a big deal about this kind of stuff, so you're not too sure what to approve, but more and more weight is becoming behind the story now, so it looks like it's going to be 5 white guys for the Proteas out of 11.
And how many women?
How many coloured and Indian?
Good yes. point.
And how many people in wheelchairs?
Good point.
And how many Down syndrome children?
Exactly, Gareth. I mean, come on. If we're just going to pick the colour game, we're already touching the iceberg.
I mean, you're really not being totally fair. And you know what? I mean, it might look representative, but it certainly doesn't. How about transgender people?
Yeah.
Why don't we have one of those in the cricket team?
So Chris Nanzani, who is the CSA president and chairperson of the board, he's been doing a lot of the talking of late. So he said, like, there's never ever been strict criteria for the racial breakdown of the teams, but with more and more political pressure, which is exactly what it is. But now this is the problem with politics, right? And I'll give you a quick little rundown before I sign off here. What they don't understand is last year in the West Indies, there wasn't a single white bowler in the team. Okay, they won a match. There was, I think, 8 players of color. So there were like 3 white guys in the team, right?
So this is our team?
Yeah. Okay. So now, Fikile, in his infinite wisdom and obviously a huge command of what sport is in all aspects, will look at that and go, well, there we go. We've got all these players of color. The team won. This is the way of the future. What he doesn't quite understand is that the pitch was a spinning turner of note, okay? So basically, there was no point even playing a seamer.
Mm.
No point whatsoever.
I won't pretend I know what you're talking about here.
As in spin bowlers rather than fast bowlers, okay. Right? And it just so happens that in our current makeup and squad, there are more white guys who bowl seam bowling, pace bowlers, right? So in a pitch that doesn't need pace bowlers, you'll have less white guys.
Okay.
So they'll look at that on face value and go, right, 8 players of color, cool, every single time. So he doesn't understand that there's some games where we need one spinner, just one spinner. Otherwise, it's useless. We're going to get caught all over the place, right? So you can't think that the same 11 guys can play every single match for the Proteas.
Yeah.
But they'll never come into his head. So in his mind, it's going, there, it's done, now it's law. You've done it, you've won, there's no excuses anymore.
It's election time. All he's trying to do is show people that he has achieved things as sports minister. That's all. So he's going to make it look like he's done something. And the best way to make it look like you've done something is go right to the top, to the 11 best cricketers in South Africa, and mess with it so that you can show how you influence things for the better. And trust me, it doesn't matter to him what happens from there on. In fact, I doubt he even watches the matches. He's just made the change. Everything's done.
Yeah, so what it's going to come down to as well with this whole confirmation of the breakdown of racial, I don't even know what to call it because it all sounds like horseshit and we're all trying to sound politically correct. So basically, of the 6 players who are not allowed to be white, 2 of them have to be black Africans, which means those are very black people, I think. So again, Mubs, there's no mention of Indians or coloureds.
You know, I'm for the coloured and Indian people in this country.
I don't know, you keep bringing this up.
Well, I mean,
no, I'm
white
with
people
you,
and black people are always making it about them damn selves. Yeah. Where are my coloured and Indian people? Where are they?
Shame.
I agree. And what makes it worse, shame, and this is the last I'll say on this without trying to be controversial, shame, but yes, where are the Indian people? The Indian, shame, community in this country is, shame, of great numbers, right? And they all, shame, fucking love cricket. They love it. They absolutely love cricket. You don't see these guys giving a toss about rugby. Not that much about football, but they love cricket. So where's the quota for that, saying there must be 2 Indian South Africans? Yeah, I put that to you, Akilo Balula.
I don't know if we're ever going to solve this problem.
No, we're not. It's just the way we are.
You know what? Eventually, yeah. I'm telling you, eventually someone fat's going to say, we need a fat person in the team.
That's fine, too. That's
true.
That's okay.
We're going to need a fat person, an epileptic person, which would be kind of cool because there'll be no strobe lights in these games. One less paraphernalia we don't need.
Allah Akbar, death to America.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, well said.
Just listen to this quickly. This is interesting, Ben, and it's about you. Behold, when Gareth is late, Ben immediately starts talking about the Kardashians. Now we know, Ben. Now we know.
Ah, behold, message person. I come message here, look, about to do sports, and then at 5:59, Michael says, start the show. Okay, so what do? I got to try find content. So blow out your ass is the first thing I saw.
And then Public Protester, who's one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter, has just tweeted out a picture of Donald Trump eating KFC on his private jet, but he eats it with a knife and fork. And Public Protester says, behold, Donald Trump eats KFC with a knife and fork because he can't hold the chicken with his tiny hands.
Also, all that self-tan plus the Colonel's secret sauces and stuff, it's going to mix terribly.
That's great.
He can't be licking off that tan from his fingers, you know, that whole finger looking good thing.
Right.
It's not going to work with him.
And Omar is up nice and early this morning, the Renegade Report presenter, Omar, who says, best part of the story about Bernie Eccleston and his mother is his mother-in-law is 25 years younger than him. His mother-in-law? Just think about that.
So then how old is his wife?
His wife must
is
be
she 12?
40 years younger than him. That is something else. So there we go. You want to be excited? There's a story. What a story. Huh? Unbelievable.
Because Bernie is actually... I think Bernie's as old as other Bernie.
Yeah. In fact, they both went to cave school together.
They both have BC
after their
age.
There's a picture of Bernie's mother-in-law. Like how so-
Okay, but Bernie's mother-in-law is not exactly young.
Look how angry
well,
she looks.
Well, Bernie is not young.
Of course she's angry. She was
slighted
she was abandoned, and he had no desire whatsoever to rescue her. None. He doesn't care what happens there. All right. Anything else, Ben?
No, Gareth, that's it. Tomorrow there's more Olympics. No, sorry, not tomorrow. Thursday. A lot more Olympic stuff.
Yeah. Now, we're not in tomorrow. We've got... I heard Flax throwing forward to this just a little bit earlier. We've got the DA's chief whip, John Steenhuisen, on tomorrow. Now, I wanted to give all three parties an equal platform. And this is what I tried to do, even though there are no rules and no laws that force me to do that like they do on other radio stations and television. For example, if you interviewed Gwede Mantashe on SABC, you'd have to interview every other little party. Even though Gwede Mantashe's opinion is way more important at this point than the opinion of Peter Mulder of the Vryheidsfront Plus. Okay? Because he's a very small party by comparison. So, those are the rules. What I wanted to do here is to give the ANC, the DA, and the EFF, at least those three parties, an equal chance to be heard by you. We had Julius from the EFF on just a couple of weeks ago, and it was an hour and a bit we spoke to each other. And he was fascinating to hear, and there were a lot of things that I think people were surprised to hear from him. But Julius got his time. All right? We have tried really hard to be equal and to give the ANC every opportunity, particularly the Gauteng ANC, who I like. So I'm slightly biased, like any other human being, and I asked David Makura, who's currently the Premier of Gauteng. That fell through. Paul Mashatile was meant to be here on Friday last week to record an interview. He had to cancel. Look, I understand. Things happen. They're busy campaigning. There's a lot going on. And the third person I asked was Parks Dowell, who was actually on the leadership platform yesterday, the mayor of Johannesburg. I've also asked Panyaza Lesufi to come. Flax, all of these people, just vouch for me here. We've asked all the ANC people we could. We've also asked for Gwede. We've asked for Zweli Mkhize.
Yes.
I mean, we have thrown out as many lines as it's possible for fishermen to throw. None of the fish have bitten, right?
We've got replies, yeah. But then like the email trail just, it went dead. Mm. The DA reply to any email. If someone was running 5 minutes late,
and
I
so
got
do
an
the
email.
EFF. So do the EFF, because they're hungry for votes.
Aha, that's where the difference comes.
And exactly. And let me tell you this much about the ANC, particularly the Gauteng ANC, who I have some sympathy for. They can't say anything at the moment.
Not allowed to?
No, it's just, what do you say? Because the moment you start talking about real politics, guess what's going to come up? El Presidente.
Yeah.
And the minute you talk about El Presidente, it's bad for your election campaign.
Yes, absolutely.
So they're all just pretending he's not there.
Won't they also get kicked out the group?
Well, they're already, the group. It's like a WhatsApp group, and someone just gets kicked out. Flax, you're not wrong, because currently the Gauteng ANC are very unpopular with the National ANC.
Yes, because they disagree with a lot of what the National ANC have been doing.
Right. And so they're already on a hiding to nothing. If they lose Johannesburg and Tshwane, it's tickets for those guys, which is why I wanted them on as well, because we won't hear from them ever again. So say goodbye to David Makura and Paul Mashatile and Park Stow and all of these guys who are very competent people. I mean, Johannesburg has been run pretty damn well. I know it's not perfect, but it's a huge city with a huge population, and it hasn't been run badly. By comparison with a lot of other municipalities, particularly these little rural ones, the Gauteng ANC have done a great job with Johannesburg. Not so much Pretoria, but that's a different story. Anyway, I tried really hard to give the ANC as much space as I could, because I want you to hear from them. They have not made it easy for us. So I'm afraid tomorrow, Julius and John Steenhuisen are going to be here to represent the DA and the EFF. I could not bed down the ANC for an interview. And even when we went for an ANC councillor here in Johannesburg, who's going for one of the ward councillor positions.
Cancelled that morning.
Yeah, they cancelled that morning. So it's not their fault. I understand they can't talk to me, because the minute they talk to me, I'm going to bring up the president and they're going to hit the skids. And it's going to be like someone shat down the back of their leg. It's a big problem when you bring the president up.
It's a big problem having someone poo-poo on the back of your leg, too.
That's exactly right, because you have to be hosed down, which is very embarrassing.
Very.
Yeah, see, there's a big problem trying to back people who back that guy.
Exactly. So even if you don't back him, you can't say it. And if you do back him and you say it, you sound like an idiot. So I understand. They're in an the invidious position. You don't want to be there. It's time for Anthea.
She looks hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. She was hard for the money, so you better treat her right. She was hard for the money.
Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
How are you this morning? You sound tired.
I am a bit, I must admit.
Busy day yesterday?
Very. It's a kind of month end and all sorts going on.
Have you got some music in the background there? What are you doing, yoga?
No, it might be Sylvie packing away coffee cups.
Oh, okay. All right. Where do you talk to us from in the mornings? Whereabouts in your offices are you?
I am at my desk. Mm-hmm. I sit next to the window, so mm-hmm. I can see. It's a bit strange day today.
Yeah, it's sort of a little bit, it's a bit not cloudy, it's sort of a bit dull.
Yeah, definitely dull.
All right, so what can you tell us?
At least it's light.
No, definitely. And it's getting lighter and lighter every morning a little bit earlier.
Yes, roll on summer.
Damn straight.
All right. So we had a fairly good day yesterday. The oil share closed just over 0.5% higher. Very good volume. We traded just over $1.9 billion. And all this despite the rand still trading stronger, 13.89 to the US dollar. Oh,
nice.
Yeah. So if you're planning to travel in the next couple of months, I suggest you buy some currency soon. I mean, I can't imagine that this rand is going to stay strong forever. And, you know, in a couple of months, we'll start, if not in the next month, we'll start talking about the U.S. raising interest rates. We'll start talking about the potential downgrade. And then the rand is likely to go into a tailspin. So it might get stronger from here, but I think below 14, it's a good number. Then in the U.K., they had manufacturing PMI, which is the manufacturing kind of economic number. And it fell from 52.4 to 48.2. And it's generally considered that below 50 is a contraction. And as you can imagine, I mean, I've already heard commentators blaming Brexit, but I think they're just looking for explanations. I mean, I hardly think one bad manufacturing number can be blamed on Brexit. I think if you get two or three of these, then maybe we can talk with some conviction.
All right.
But what this does highlight is Thursday's Bank of England meeting. And Bloomberg are suggesting that there is a 98% probability that the Bank of England will cut interest rates by a quarter of a percent on Thursday to the repo rate of a quarter of a percent. So it's 0.5% at the moment.
Okay.
It'll be the first time in 7 years that the Bank of England cuts their interest rate. So, and I think the market really counting on Mark Carney to do what he can to stave off this possible recession everyone's talking about. And then back home, the DTI also put out some economic data yesterday. New vehicle sales fell by 17% year on year. Although we did see exports rise by 2.4%. I mean, I think this is just not a good indicator for the local consumer. You know, South Africans definitely tightening their belts, it would seem. And then just on company news, the star performer yesterday by miles was Nedbank. The share closed almost 7% higher yesterday.
Wow. What happened at Nedbank to chase up that share by 7%?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. They reported a fairly positive first half of the year set of results. Diluted headline earnings per share increased by only 1.6% year on year. And it's not a particularly extraordinary number. But if you exclude the EcoBank losses, so Nedbank owns 20% of EcoBank, which is listed as a Pan-African bank, although for some reason I still think of it as a Nigerian bank.
Yeah.
So if you exclude the EcoBank loss, this implies a 20% year-on-year growth in diluted headline earnings per share for Nedbank. And so I think the EcoBank write-down or the loss really is a once-off thing. It's something they did at the end of last year, but actually Nedbank reports their stake in EcoBank kind of a quarter later just for timing and accounting purposes. So, and the loss at EcoBank was 670 million rand. So wow. If you can, So if you can imagine that that is now gone, then I think what the market is doing is looking forward and saying that next year there'll be an extra 670 million rand in the coffers for Nedbank, basically on the bottom line.
That's interesting. Nedbank's kind of the one bank in South Africa that doesn't really have a unique selling point. You know, Absa's just huge locally. Standard Bank is huge on the continent. FNB are the ones who are innovating with digital banking and all the rest. And Nedbank, you kind of think, well, okay, they've maybe got that green thing going for them that they, you know, that they're interested in the environment and sport and stuff.
But they finance renewable energy projects.
Right, but I mean, otherwise they don't have a thing, you know?
Yeah, and also don't forget they're going to be sold off in the Old Mutual breakup, right?
Oh, shame. That must be so demoralizing. It's like your parents want to sell you off into slavery and you're one of the children. But obviously that could affect the share price very well, not necessarily badly.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
All right.
Shame. You do make Nedbank seem like the poor
ownership
of the family.
I mean, that's just, it's a perception thing, and we both know how much perception matters in the market.
True.
All right.
Yeah.
Anthea, anything else?
Yeah. Lundman also put out a trading update yesterday. They weren't a terrible set of results. The share was down 2.5%. They've managed to increase production, and because of the weaker rand at the beginning of the year, they've managed to receive a higher price for their PGM basket. So PGM stands for platinum group metal. So obviously platinum is their main metal.
Yep.
But what comes with mining platinum is the other five.
Palladium,
it's rhodium.
And rhodium.
That's
and
right.
Ruthenium and iridium and osmium.
Wow. That is very impressive, Gareth. That's incredible.
It's one of my tricks. I do this at parties and people are impressed.
It's a good one. Yeah, so despite them having fairly good cost cutting and receiving a higher price for their cheap PGM basket, I'm afraid the company's still free cash flow negative. And so their cash declined from $114 million in the second quarter to $91 million in the third quarter. Yeah, such a difficult one. I mean, I guess, you know, they did this rights issue and we're all worried that the company's going to fold. But I guess they're trying the best they can.
Here's a good question from Nikki, who says, I'm listening to you now, Anthea. Why don't we do the same as Britain does, i.e. drop rates?
Yeah, because we've got high inflation at the moment. I would have liked to have seen, you know, the governor say that he wanted to change. We're in an interest rate hiking environment because he wants to keep inflation under control.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked him to change his rhetoric a little bit, but he actually didn't, and quite the opposite. I believe the Saab is now warning that we still need to be careful. Consumers don't spend so much, because what you don't want is the Zimbabwean hyperinflation story, right? With no growth.
I mean, right.
Yeah. It's a very difficult position that the Reserve Bank is in at the moment, Nikki.
Right. Just another thing. There's a petrol strike going on at the moment, right?
Well, there was a refinery strike, which has now come to an end, I believe.
Yeah, but there's still supply problems. And here's my question on a macro scale. If the economy is not growing, can people expect to be earning more? Can people make demands about wages and salaries in an economy that is shrinking and contracting rather than one that is growing? I mean, we're at 0% growth. They revised that down again. We can't go lower down unless we go into the negatives. And surely people must realize, even people who are not necessarily the smartest in the room, that there isn't any extra money if the economy is not growing for you to be paid more.
And so the problem, of course, if you are earning a salary and it stays the same, but inflation is above 6%,
right,
you're effectively earning 6% less every year. You can afford to buy 6% less every year.
Correct.
So I tell you what you shouldn't be doing is demanding higher than inflation wage increases. Let's start with that.
Well, just because it's not going to happen. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. South Africa is in a very difficult position at the moment. And I think, like, kind of us laymen don't really understand. We want to carry on as we were.
Right.
You know, you can't have population growth higher than economic growth, because what that means is that effectively everyone in the country is getting poorer.
Right. And in other words, you know, be reasonable about this. To ask for more money now is like going to your parents when they've both been laid off at work and saying to them, you need a car.
That's exactly it.
Okay. All right. So there
you really need to be careful.
There we've said it. And popular as that point of view may be, we've said it. Thank you very much, Anthea.
My pleasure. Good luck with the voting tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. You know where your voting poll... Are you registered?
I am indeed.
Okay. You better be going.
Of course I am. We have a lot of people. An easy one this year.
Yeah, we have a lot of people who say that you shouldn't even bother to go and vote, but I'm on the other side of that argument.
No, I think you must. I think it's we fought hard for our right to vote.
Right. Okay, let's go and do it. Thank you, Anthea.
Super, thanks. Bye.
Very good. Anthea Gardner and a look at the markets. We do this every single morning at the same time, and you can join us daily for a look at what's going on in the marketplace. In the meantime, let us get on with the show. We got lots of things to do this morning. We're going to speak to a guy called Darren Denholm, this guy can teach you to speed read. Now, I've heard of this being done, but he can radically increase your ability to learn faster and remember more. Like you could read a book a night.
Phew.
Yeah. And he'll teach you how. I met him, what was it, about 3 months ago? And he said to me, he could teach us how to do this. He is the highest ranked competitor at the World Memory Championships from Africa and the Southern Hemisphere, 2006 to 2011. That's a long time to hold a record. Huh?
Sure.
Wouldn't you like to remember more, Ben? How often you sit there going,
right now.
Right.
You can't remember stuff. I don't even know what you're asking me. I'm just going,
So he will teach us how we can remember stuff better and how we can read faster and retain useful information. Don't you want to be able to do that?
Well, it's good that he's held that record for as long as he has, because that's how you know for a fact he's got a great memory.
Right. We're also going to have Matthew Barkley from Meltwater. He's going to pop in to tell us about the elections. They do a whole lot of statistical research, particularly on social media, and they're going to tell us which parties are getting the most traction on social media, which parties are being talked about the most on social media. All of that more on the way. CliffCentral.com.